reading this morning is taken from the book of Leviticus, the 4th chapter. If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to begin today by just reading a paragraph from a book called Heaven on Earth by Dr. Arthur Just, who is an Old Testament scholar, about the worship life of the Jews in the temple. He describes the temple. He says, there were perhaps 16,000 to 18,000 Passover lambs killed in the temple when Jesus was crucified. Estimates of pilgrims run around 125,000 people, adding to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for a total of about 175,000 people, and one lamb serving about 10 people. This was a bloody affair. The blood was poured at the foot of the altar for the burnt offering. A bucket brigade of priests would transfer the blood for the place of sacrifice to the altar where it would be poured. The Mishnah, a document written by temple rabbis, describes the slaughter of the lamb this way. An Israelite slaughtered his own offering and the priest caught the blood. The priest passed the basin to his fellow priest and he to his fellow, each receiving a full basin and giving back an empty one. The priest nearest to the altar tossed the blood in one action against the base of the altar. The amount of blood from 18,000 lambs was said to cover the ankle of the priests, and periodically they would have to wash the court of the women because of the volume of blood. The Kidron River that flowed between the temple and the Mount of Olives was said to run pink during the sacrifice of the Passover lambs. The burning of the entrails, the guts, on the altar would accompany the pouring of the blood on the base of the altar, causing the temple to smell like a slaughterhouse of burning flesh and bloody meat. Does that sound like going to church to you? Whoa, what is the deal with all of this blood? What's the deal with all of this blood? I can only imagine that if you were a child or a teenager and you went to the temple and happened to witness some of these sacrifices that would take place, it had to be pretty dramatic. It had to be pretty startling to watch someone take a lamb or a goat, or in the case of our text, a bull, a young bull. How many strikes from the machete did it take to actually cut the head of that beast off? How quickly did it drop? What sound did it make as it moaned in death? How heavy was it as it fell at the feet of the priests? What was it like to push on the body and the flesh of that bull to squeeze out the blood into a bowl? This is just strange stuff to us. The Old Testament animal victims that were offered in these sacrifices were a visible demonstration, if you will, of the problem between man and God. They were, if you will, a visual depiction of our problem of sin and guilt before God. It was kind of God's way of showing there's something wrong between me and you. There's something wrong between us. Your condition before me on your own is deplorable. And this, what this victim is receiving, this is what you deserve because of that. And we see this reflected in other things in Old Testament worship life. The very curtain, the veil that held between the holy place, that hung between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, was again a visible monument, if you will, to the problem of our sin that separates us away from God and that keeps us screened away from God. The high priest himself, as we see in our text, he himself being a sinful, fallen man like the rest of us, when he would sin, had to bring the most valuable offering victim that you could find, a young bull full of potential economic value, the most costly and conspicuous sacrificial victim that you could get. He had to bring this and slaughter it for his own sins. If any of you have ever seen the Body Works exhibit or heard about it, it's a place where they have taken and through an amazing scientific process have plasticized human bodies, actual human figures. And I remember when I was in that exhibit, about as far from here to the back of the chapel away, I saw a man standing dressed in what I thought was a Spider-Man costume. And then as I got closer to it, I realized it was one of these exhibits, that it was an exhibit to show just how much blood is in the human body and how if it fills every capillary and vein the way our blood does inside of us, that it actually looks like a red figure. That's how much of a package of blood you are and I am as human beings. Can there be anything that represents life better than a big package of blood? Can there be anything that symbolizes the need to be alive and life itself? Now, all of these animals that were sacrificed, probably millions of them through the years, all of these animals and the office of the high priest that slaughtered these animals in the temple grounds, they were there to provide a picture of one great package of blood that would have to come down from heaven to be sacrificed. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. He alone, the innocent Lamb of God, would come now and bring into this world his holy, precious blood, and by his innocent suffering and death be slaughtered on the machete of the cross to atone for all of our sins and our guilt. You could say that the entire temple worship life and the sacrificial system and all of these animals and all of that blood and the priests and all the blood that they went home with to their wives and their clothing, all of that was a picture of the doctrine of justification. How do sinful people get right with a holy God? You see, in the realm of religion, that's all that really matters to God, is getting wicked, sinful people like me and you correct and right with him. And that can only happen through the special bloody package that he delivers in his own son. And all of those other previous animals that were slaughtered and sacrificed before that had value only in this, that they were pointing and directing us ahead to the holy sacrifice that would come on the cross of Calvary. You see, apart from blood, there's no salvation, there's no forgiveness, there's no peace with God, and you and I have no future in heaven. It's that essential in God's theological and economic system. Now, why is this ritual of sacrifice so unusual to us? Why does it sound so strange? Why is this something that's so foreign to us in our churches? It is because of this. The one great sacrifice has already come. He's already lived. He's already died and risen again. There's no need for any more blood. The book of Hebrews tells us Christ was sacrificed once for all. There are some people in Christendom today who believe that we still have to keep making sacrifices to God, and that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we have to offer up his body and blood to God as if we're still trying to make payment for something. How ridiculous. That's not the way the Lord describes this to us. His sacrifice is complete. It's done. It's already accomplished what it needed to do. The Lord's Supper is now just a way to distribute and bring to us the wonderful grace that our Lord has won. There's some great imagery in our text that often took place in these sacrifices. The laying of the hand on the head, a beautiful example of the transfer of guilt from the priest to the animal, a transfer of guilt from the one who deserved to be slaughtered to the animal whose life now would be taken. Just yesterday in the hymn that we sang in chapel, Isaac Watts, the great English hymn writer, said it this way about Christians saying this to Christ: "My faith would lay its hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin." God invites you, as we look forward to Holy Week and our Lord going to the cross, God invites you to take the hand of your penitent heart and place it on the head of his Son, the Son who now goes to be sacrificed, and to understand that all of your guilt, all of it, transfers through your fingers into the skin of his Son for his death to now atone for you. One last beautiful image that we see in our text is that of sprinkling of the blood. This was to demonstrate the cleansing process. There were some times when the priest would even take kind of a big hyssop branch and dip it in a pool of the blood and spatter it out at the people. And the people would go home with little flecks of it in their hair and on their faces and on their clothes. And that was a way of demonstrating that what happened with this victim now applies to you. It has touched you. It has value and meaning to each one of you. God has not chosen to do that today from his pulpit, but rather do it through words. And so today I stand here as his representative and speak the words from the atonement of the cross to you and declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to turn with me to page 154 in the front part of your hymn book, page 154. And there you will find collect number 59. And let us pray that together as a collect for Good Friday. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sin and redemption from everlasting death, through the same our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.